every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Good evening and welcome aboard another week and the start of another week here on Sports Overnight America. Marty Tourette along the way here on Sports Byline broadcast as we talk the world of sports and a whole lot more. Recapping a weekend here in New York. Obviously the U.S. Open, we'll do that a little bit later on. You got to kind of doff our caps to, week three of college football, but the first full week of NFL will conclude on Monday night with the Bears and Vikings, so we will take a look at that. But Gary Myers will join us, longtime NFL writer and book author, long time with the New York Daily News. He was part of HBO for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to this. So, Brady, Belichick, the old dynasty argument. It's not a tired argument, but you know, I guess the best comparison would be Joe Montana in San Francisco. And Montana always said, look, it was 75% Bill Walsh, maybe 25% me, and my host of supporting cast during that great Niner run. So, yeah, Gary Myers, we look forward to that. And just another interesting week in college football. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, I'll take Army, West Point, okay? I lose to Tarleton State out of Texas a week ago, and then turn the tables and pick off Kansas State. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And then you got South Florida knocking off Florida, Billy Napier, who is now singing for his supper, because you look at the gauntlet over the next month, he's odds on probably to see his tenure run its course in Gainesville. But, yeah, so we'll recap college football, do some NFL. We'll get to the U.S. Open in tennis. And maybe squeezed in a little bit of baseball as well. But that's where we'll get started today, will be the Brady Belichick debate with Gary Myers. It'll be interesting. That book will be out a week from tomorrow on the 16th of September. And I would venture to say that, Belichick, it's just that acrimonious divorce with Robert Kraft and the Patriots ownership group is getting getting more contentious by the day, if not the week. So we look forward to that. Coming back here on Sports Overnight America. Don't go away.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
All right, we're live in New York City, wrapping up our U.S. Open. We'll get to that later on, but always good to go down the road of NFL football with Gary Myers. You look at this resume, some 40-plus years beat writer, Dallas Morning News, books on the Cowboys, the Giants, Manning, Brady, and now the one that I am most anticipating, being a New England guy, is really seeing what Gary has put together with obviously, Brady versus Belichick, the dynasty debate. And Gary, nice enough to give us his time and a couple of segments here today. Gary, Marty Terrell, live in New York. Thank you so much for popping on. How does this call find you tonight, Gary? What's going on?
I am doing great, Marty, and excited about my book coming out a week from tomorrow. And I appreciate you having me on.
We certainly love having you. You know, I guess where I want to start right here at the ground floor is you've talked to a lot of people putting this book together. When did you know that you wanted to venture down this road and really weigh in with obviously an esteemed resume? It's going to be interesting. You talked to a lot of people. When did you ultimately decide to put this into book form, Gary? Can we ask you that question here to start things off here tonight? Let me hear.
Well, sure. Yeah. I think it was, you know, once Bill got fired in New England and that chapter was closed, then I thought it was the appropriate time to, you know, be able to look at the Belichick Brady years in its entirety, Tom from 2000 to 2019 and Bill from 2000 to 2023. I wanted to give Belichick the opportunity, not that I wanted to give it to him, but I wanted to see what would happen while he was still in New England if he can go ahead and win a Super Bowl without Tom, which could have changed, the narrative somewhat in the book. So once that ended, I started thinking of, you know, the next book I wanted to write. I had come out with a book, Once a Giant, in September of 23. And so, you know, it was after the 23 football season that I was looking for my next project, and that one just kind of hit me as, this is almost like a no-brainer to do a book on this, because we'll never see anything like this again, despite what they think in Kansas City. And I started off on the project, you know, back then.
Yeah, we're talking to Gary Myers. The book will be out a week from tomorrow, as you mentioned, on the 16th, Brady versus Belichick, the dynasty debate. And I guess, you know, a lot of people think that Brady decided this argument or this debate, if you will, by going to Tampa and winning the Super Bowl. And granted, he had Gronk alongside, but a lot of people think he answered in the affirmative for this side of the debate with his victory in that Super Bowl, and that Belichick answered it by really flopping at 5-11. And a lot of people say, you know, that decided it. Belichick, and you point this out in your book, Belichick said, hey, we were up against it. He kind of changed the narrative to, yeah, Tom did the right thing, but it kind of deflected away from the fact that he didn't win without Tom Brady. So is it maybe as simple as that, Gary? Let me ask. Go ahead.
All right. So I would look at it like this, Morty. My book is based on who deserves the credit for getting to 9 Super Bowls, winning 6 of them, winning 17 AFC East championships. The book is not based on how did Belichick do in Cleveland while Tom was still in college, or how did Belichick do in New England when Tom was in Tampa. To me, it's irrelevant to the argument. Now, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and that's great, because that's why this is such a fun topic, because people have different opinions. If you were to include Belichick's career pre-Brady and post-Brady and Brady post-Belichick, then sure, it's one-sided because Tom went and won a Super Bowl without Belichick. But he was in just different circumstances. You know, he handpicked a team that won 7 games the year before with a quarterback that threw 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in Jameis Winston. So clearly they had a ton of talent on that team and were nearly a 500 team despite a quarterback who threw 30 interceptions. So he evaluated the Tampa roster and saw they had excellent receivers, a really good defense, an offensive-minded coach, and he wasn't going to go to a team that he didn't think he can win with. And all credit to him. You know, he was the missing piece. But what does that have to do with what happened in New England when Brady was drafted by Belichick and they developed a team that won 3 Super Bowls in Brady's first 4 years, didn't win another Super Bowl for another 10 years, and then won 3 more in Brady's last 6 years there? I just don't see where that's relevant to the argument of what they did together. And that's what my book is based on. I certainly do address the argument, you know, you were just making, or the point you just brought up, and I just knock it down and just say, not that I don't care about it, it's just that it doesn't impact what their relationship was and what the power structure was when they were together and how the balance of power, you know, slowly shifted to Brady probably in the 07 season when he threw 50 touchdowns and they were undefeated in the regular season and came within the helmet catch of being the greatest single season team in NFL history. That's where I think the shift took place. But clearly, you know, Brady owes his career starting in England to Belichick, because he almost slipped through the entire draft. And if he wound up as a free agent or he drafted somewhere in the 7th round by a really bad team with a bad coaching staff, we might never have heard of Tom Brady. So that's where I give Belichick a lot of credit in the book.
I remember like it was yesterday, Gary, when Mo Lewis delivered that hit to Bledsoe. And I mean, that injury, I mean, we got to remember, he got hit so hard and actually continued to play. I mean, he could have bled out on the field. I don't know if I'm being hyperbolic by saying that, but
no,
that was 12 days. Yeah, I mean, that's 12 days removed from 9/11, if memory serves.
That's correct.
I mean, you want to talk about a hit. I mean, we never would have heard of Tom Brady. And we got to remember, Bledsoe also won that game in Pittsburgh, did he not? Brady got hurt and did not even play in that AFC Championship game, if I remember. Or maybe he got hurt during that game. I don't recall,
yeah, he got
but
hurt.
I do know
he got
this.
Hurt in the second he got hurt in the second quarter of that game, and Bledsoe wound up throwing a touchdown pass to help to win the game.
Right.
I was at that game. I was at the Mo Lewis game. And you're right. I mean, Bledsoe came back in for the next series. And the reason he came out is because his teammates recognized that he's having trouble calling the plays, and he had suffered a concussion. It wasn't until they got into the locker room and they checked his blood pressure that was inconsistent with a concussion. Now, I do have it in the book. I just don't remember off the top of my head if his blood pressure went down when you have a concussion, it goes up, or vice versa. But they knew, because it was going in the opposite direction of what a concussion usually does, that there was something else wrong. And they got him out of his jersey, got him in an ambulance, and his brother was with him in the ambulance, and his brother thought he passed away on the way to the hospital, that he just kind of blanked out, and he thought he died in the ambulance. You know, obviously, unfortunately, that didn't happen, and he had suffered a sheared blood vessel in his chest that grew before they diagnosed it in the locker room. He was telling the team doctors, I'm just going to go home, and if I'm not feeling great in the morning, I'll come see you guys. And they said, no, you're going to the hospital, and that saved his life.
Yeah, he would not have survived. Had he gone home and been allowed to go home, I have seen that well documented, and you do so in the book as well. It is just unbelievable. We wouldn't have heard from Tom Brady. He was sixth-round pick, 199th overall. You want to talk about fate. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. But, yeah, excellent job pointing out. Second quarter of that game against Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, it was Bledsoe who threw the game winner. Gary, I do want, and I really appreciate this, and I'm so glad that we can spend some time delving into this. So I just want to take care of some business here, get you back on the other side. We'll spend a few more moments, including some kind of historical perspective from Joe Montana and others, the Bill Walsh era, maybe a comparison there. Interesting. And then just the acrimonious nature of, at times, the relationship, and Tom Sr., absolutely, from all I can tell, despised Bill Belichick. But maybe it was just one of those situations where they wouldn't have been great without each other. Maybe the chemistry was such that even though they didn't always get along great, you look at the end game. So Gary Myers with us, longtime NFL writer and book author. Also had the Manning Brady book and, of course, Once a Giant. We'll come back more on the debate, Belichick and Brady, coming back on Sports Overnight America here, across the country and around the globe on Sports Byline. Keep it right here.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Talk of the World of Sports, part two of our conversations with longtime NFL chronicler Gary Myers. What a nice treat here to talk on a, after really we'll get the end of week one tonight in the NFL. Good to have Gary on here. His book on the debate, the Brady and Belichick debate, will be out a week from tomorrow on September 16th. But Gary, you know, we talked about if there wasn't the Bledsoe injury, there maybe never would have been a Tom Brady. How about the Tuck Rule game? How about Adam Vinatieri? How about John Madden screaming on Fox? And I was in New Orleans that night and wondering if the Patriots would play for overtime. So many different things. And then the Amendolas, the Welkers, the Gronkowskis, the Falk, and so on and so forth. Where do you go with that, Gary?
Wow, you just threw a lot at me there.
I did.
Let's start with the Tuck Rule game. I think Brady had shown enough to that point that even if that play was ruled correctly and the Patriots lost in the divisional round, that he would have been the quarterback the next year. Belichick did not like Bledsoe. And in fact, you know, I was told that coming into the season in 01, that he actually wanted to start the season with Brady, but because Robert Kraft had just signed Bledsoe to the richest contract in NFL history at that point, 10 years, $103 million, that he just didn't have the stomach to go through what he went through in Cleveland when he dumped Bernie Kosar. So he stuck with Bledsoe, and when Bledsoe got hurt, I'm not never ever say that Belichick wanted Bledsoe to get injured, but it did allow him to do what he wanted to do all along, which was to play Brady. So, you know, clearly they would have lost the Tuck Rule game if that play wasn't overturned, but I don't think that would have been like, all right, that's the end of Brady. We never would have heard from him. At that point, I think he had shown so many good things that he would have continued to build on that. And then as far
talking
as...
to Gary, yep, go ahead. John go
Madden,
ahead.
Yep. Yeah, I was just going to say, just as far as the John Madden thing, I have a whole passage in the book where I went back and watched the tape, and I put all Madden's comments on, you know, before when they came out after the kickoff and Madden saying, you know, play for overtime, you have basically a rookie quarterback out there, don't take any chances. And then he goes, I don't agree with what Belichick is doing. And then a couple of completions into it, he goes, now I agree with what they're doing. You know, so he changed right. His mind pretty quickly.
Yeah, who wouldn't? It was remarkable. All right, so we get to the Montana, Bill Walsh, and I found this to be interesting. I'm glad someone finally pointed out a percentage. Montana said, look, it was 75% Bill Walsh, 25% the others, himself included. Where do you go when you hear a quote like that? Is that just him being self-deprecating, or do you think Montana really believed that? Because I think that's a great one to kind of compare. Let me hear.
Yeah, I mean, when I was talking to Joe and he said 75%, I said, come on, Joe, stop that. And he goes, no. He goes, I was the mailman. You know, Bill was the guy in charge, and I just delivered the mail for him. I did what he asked. I said, yeah, but how many guys could have done that? You know, especially, you know, you can say Steve Young, but Steve Young never was the starter for Bill Walsh. I mean, he started a few games here and there. Steve was a great quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback, so you assume he would have been able to do just as well if Walsh had stayed. But the reason he did 75-25 or 70, whatever, I think it was 75-25, is because he said that Walsh was an offensive coach. And he said, when you look at Brady and Belichick, Belichick was primarily a defensive coach, even though he did get very involved in the offense after the quarterback coach Dick Rabine passed away in training camp in 01, Bill, you know, really took it upon himself to work with Charlie Weiss to bring Brady along. But in Montana's mind, he looks at Belichick as a defensive coach, so that's why he gives the edge to Brady and why he gives the edge to Walsh, because he said he was an offensive coach.
Interesting. Gary but Myers
Joe,
with
Joe,
us.
I'll
the book will be
this,
out.
Marty, yeah, Joe was being very humble.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look, and granted, you know, the catch in the end zone, he had great receivers to throw to. Obviously, Taylor and Rice, and we could go on and on and on, and it was just a remarkable supporting cast, and so too did Brady. But here's where I want to go. Do you think that this to either Brady or Belichick, and in a roundabout way, I'm asking you indirectly, what is their true relationship? So, two-part question. Does Brady care that he gets a commensurate amount of credit for the dynasty? And does Belichick care? And then, again, indirectly, the relationship between these two. Go ahead.
All right. The first part was whether Brady cares. I missed that question. I couldn't hear what you said.
Does Brady really care about this debate being, you know, he gets his commensurate amount of credit? Is it a 50-50 thing in either of their minds? You see what I'm saying? And then, I'll follow up with that. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that all these guys have huge egos. And despite, you know, Montana saying what he did, you know, Joe had a pretty big ego as well. But he's just all about winning. And I think with Brady, I think he cares. Will he ever say that publicly? You know, probably not. But, you know, especially because his relationship, and this will tie into your second question, because his relationship with Belichick deteriorated the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, you know, sure, I think that it's important to him that people realize, okay, maybe it was Belichick early on, but, you know, and he gave me my chance, but I took it and ran with it, and this was my talent that was developed, and you know, at that point, once he established himself, I'm sure that he thinks it was predominantly him rather than Belichick. Now, I think he would definitely defer credit to his teammates because that's the way he was, and that's why he was loved in the locker room. But if you gave him some truth serum, which means basically go talk to his father, I think he would probably tell you that was predominantly him.
And I think he'd be right. And I'm going to ask you your opinion because you've talked to all the key components of this whole debate, but I'll save that for our final question. The relationship with Brady and Belichick, I think you nailed it. I think it started out where I think Brady was probably not in awe, but he knew he had the right coach. But ultimately, as time went on, and now what we see is a whole different thing because the paradigm has kind of shifted. You got the Belichick crafts going at it, Brady's monument, that whole thing. But I guess what I want to say is when it's all said and done, when Brady has his day in Canton and Belichick too, how would you characterize the relationship? Or is it still a moving target, do you think, to be determined?
That's a really good question. I think early on, you know, Tom was incredibly appreciative of Belichick drafting him and keeping him as a four-string quarterback and then sticking with him 2 months after Bledsoe got hurt when Drew was healthy, and he stuck with him. And, you know, his career took off from there. I think that he owes his beginning of his career to Belichick. On the other hand, Belichick told people before that Jets game, before the Mo Lewis game that we were talking about before, that after finishing 5-11 in his first year in New England and losing the first game in Cincinnati that year, he was telling people on the Jets coaching staff that if he didn't get it turned around that year, he thought he was going to get fired, even though Robert Kraft was giving up a first-round pick. So you can say that Belichick and Brady saved each other's careers. And I think early on, they definitely recognized that. I mean, how could they not? you know, Brady, we don't know what would happen to Brady if he didn't wind up in New England. And if Brady didn't wind up in New England and do what he did, then what would have happened to Belichick? Maybe he would have got a third opportunity to be a head coach somewhere. Maybe Kraft would have given him a third year in New England, but we don't know that. But then I think, you know, they win three Super Bowls in the first 4 years that Brady is the quarterback. And, you know, certainly by after the second and for sure after the third, we realized this was not a game management guy, that this was a spectacular player who was just incredibly overlooked in the draft. And then I think the whole, I guess the pendulum moved in a different direction in 07 when they went 16-0 during the regular season and Tom threw 50 touchdowns. And now we realize we're not just talking about a great player. We're not talking about whether he's better than Peyton Manning at that point, because we knew that he was. We're talking about, is he better than Joe Montana as the greatest quarterback in NFL history? And at that point, I think you can say it was pretty much a toss-up. You know, Joe did win four, and Tom had won three at that point. And then I thought he put it away in the second half of the dynasty when he won another three with New England, and then just for good measure, won Tampa and won a seventh. So I think it's pretty clear that Brady's the greatest quarterback in NFL history. But listen, if you asked me to make an argument that Montana is, I can do that as well. 4-0 in the Super Bowl, didn't throw any interceptions in the Super Bowl. And I really think they're the same player, just played in different eras. Their styles of play, their personalities, their intelligence, their leadership, the way they were loved in their locker rooms. I just think that Brady was more of a modern-day Montana, but they each could have played in the other one's era and been just as successful as they were in their own era.
I think I speak for the masses, Gary. I think we're all really excited about a week from tomorrow when we get to delve into this. Congratulations on the book, and we appreciate you being so kind and generous with your time. Be well, Gary. Thank you. Congrats.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, buddy. There you go. Gary Myers, longtime NFL writer. He was on HBO's Inside the NFL, Dallas Morning News, New York Daily News, and noted book author, and a Hall.
That leaf pile is 100 feet tall. Your dad can't handle this.
Not without the right equipment.
Yard work piling up? Gear up for fall with John Deere. Get $750 off select mowers, $2,000 off select Gator UVs, and $3,000 off select compact tractors.
Did I hear your dad got a John Deere?
Yep, bad day to be a leaf pile.
Gear up for fall at an authorized John Deere dealer now through September 30th. Learn more at johndeere.com/gearupforfall.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
All right, talking the world of sports here. Marty Terrell, New York. I got to do a little U.S. Open. Then I got to get Dom to comment on the... I was rooting for the Niners and Brock Purdy. I think he threw two picks, though. Do I have that right? Two TDs and two picks? We'll try to get Dom. Yeah, is that right, Dom? Let's start with you, then I'll get to the U.S. Open. You were not impressed, but at least they got the W, and it's a divisional game. Would you give me that?
Oh, very excited for the end result. I just was not very excited about how they played. I'll say it was fine at best. Multiple injuries, and now it just came out about 2 minutes ago. Brock Purdy hurt his shoulder and his toe and is questionable for the Sunday. So, yeah, no, the Niners are a hot mess.
Wow. Who do they have Sunday, by the way?
I believe they play at New Orleans.
At New Orleans. Not a bad game if Purdy needs a week off. So that means we see who. Who are we going to see?
Mac Jones.
Wow. Wow. Of all people, isn't that something? What is it? What is it? Their obsession with former Patriot quarterbacks? Yeah, Garoppolo, and now you got Mac Jones. I mean, what is going on there? But so I think the Niners will be fine. I do, but you know, hey, listen. The one thing, I mean, McCaffrey was questionable, was he not? Not up to game time, but I mean, he could have gone either way. I thought he played well. I didn't see a ton of it. I saw the highlights. But, I mean, McCaffrey is just as tough as nails. He really is. Give me a quick hit on him.
Yeah, he popped up, I want to say, Thursday or Friday. Like, he missed a practice out of nowhere, and everybody – it was his calf, which is where he had problems for a large chunk of the 2024 season. And everybody was like, is he going to play? Is he going to play? And McCaffrey, I think, Friday is like, I'm going to play. Relax. So it was fine. He got heavy usage. He was awesome. Not sustainable, but Juwan Jennings, your top wide receiver, out. He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
George Kittle, your top receiving option, your top tight end, hurt, left the game after scoring a touchdown. So it's a mash unit, and now the quarterback is hurt too. It's
amazing.
It's not good, and I'm not discounting any team, but New Orleans might be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season, so... Yeah, if you need a week, it's this early, which is disheartening. But maybe New Orleans is just what the doctor prescribed.
Yeah, all right. The one thing I got to get you, and this does play into fantasy. I mean, if you got Aaron Rodgers on your fantasy team, man, you're living large. You have to admit. That's probably the headline of week one so far. To be determined unless Caleb Williams goes nuts tonight or something dramatic happens in the Minnesota-Chicago game. Aaron Rodgers doing what he did had to be the fantasy highlight of the week. Yay or nay? Let me hear.
Absolutely not. That was really? It was number five at best, I think. Daniel Jones is number one. Daniel Jones played like freaking Peyton Manning.
That's, for the Colts of all people.
Yeah,
you're
for
right,
the Colts.
You're right.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be number one. Lamar Jackson / Derrick Henry. Those are going to be up there. Josh Allen is going to be up there.
Josh Allen.
Is Keon Coleman's performance. It was the performance everybody waited all of his rookie season for and then never really got. And I think I think Rodgers is there at five. But definitely not the biggest fantasy takeaway for sure.
Well, for me it was because I was in the New York area and for him to come back into that environment. But, you know, you're right. I mean, and then, you know, I mean, when I fell asleep last night, that game was over. I mean, Baltimore's in the win column, and then it's one of those where you wake up and you go, wait a second, I didn't see that right. Did I absolutely see that right? And I did see it right. You're right. So you got to give the Bills credit, and you got to, I mean, that's just an unbelievable performance and horrible job out of Baltimore. But Lamar put up big numbers, and you're right, Daniel Jones. I mean, talk about ex-New York quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, and then Rodgers comes back into MetLife and does what he does. All right, let me get to the tennis because I have to. Look, we're looking at Carlos Alcaraz as I'm going to say this. This is going to be a generational player. He is 24 years old, or 22 years old, excuse me. He cashes a $5 million check, which is, by the way, I found out there's not really a check in that envelope. I found that out today. Thank you, New York Times. I wondered about that. Because Sloane Stephens, when she won, and she won like $2.5 or $3 million, maybe a half dozen years ago, there was nothing in that envelope. So instead of the big cardboard, you know, paper cutout phony check, there's no check in that envelope. Now, do they get the money? Yes. Yes, they do. But, yeah, that is merely ceremonial. What wasn't ceremonial was Alcaraz. This was dominant, okay? The first set, 6-2. I mean, it was a hot knife through butter. I mean, he just absolutely carved up Sinner in the first set. Now, Sinner shows some moxie coming back in the second set and winning it 6-3. And I'm thinking, okay, so now, oh, by the way, now we're in our seats after a hellish, you know, and when the president of the United States shows up, you're going to have that. Make it, you know, Trump, New York, the whole 10 yards. It was a disaster for the United States Tennis Association. They dodged the bullet because everyone apparently got in ultimately, and whatever happens last is what people remember, and they got to see, you know, they got to see a pretty decent match. Not a pretty decent match, an outstanding performance. Okay, so let's move to the third set. This is where you said to yourself, oh, my Lord, 6-1. And it could have easily, it could have been a bagel. It could have been 6-love. But Sinner got one, held serve for once, but he got broken twice in that third set. And you knew deep down inside, and even though if you're a Sinner fan, I'm not saying if you're a Sinner, but if you're a Sinner fan, we're all Sinners, but if you're a Yannick Sinner fan, you're saying to yourself, he's toast. But he showed a little moxie in that fourth set. He really did. But going back to that third set, when you hold serve, I mean, you got a puncher's chance. But when you get broken out of the box, and then Alcaraz goes up 2-love, then you get broken again as 3-love. It's just a matter of time. And sure enough, I caught a glimpse at 5-0, and then it's 5-1, 6-1. You just knew it was pretty much over at that point. But in that third, that fourth set, I mean, Sinner showed some guts. He held serve, but when that break occurred, you just said when it's 2-1, then it goes 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, 5-3, and then ultimately 6-4. You just said to yourself, and then what I thought was very fitting was the championship point, and I misspoke earlier. It was championship point number 3. 127 mile an hour serve. He aced it and it was over at 6-4. And Alcaraz is just, he's a generational player. I mean, he's got what, 6 already? He's got 6 majors. You know what's coming down the pike. We will see them again in early February at the Australian Open. Sinner has finally, you know, met his match. I believe, 65 weeks is the number one player in the world, and the baton was passed yesterday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's just got the skill set of a player that is, now, are we talking Federer? Are we talking Nadal? I think we got to tap the brakes a little bit here, but if he stays healthy and doesn't get distracted and stays on this course, we're looking at a guy who is going to dominate. Now, will Sinner jump up occasionally? Sure. But I do think we've got a, no question. And the nice thing is these guys like each other. Now, some people would say, nah, we don't want that. Let me tell you something. They like each other, but when they get on the court, they're gonna play lights out. It's just simple as that. Will the media attempt to try to not stir the pot so much, but throw a few logs on the some burning embers? Sure, but the reality is these are two great players. But to me, Alcaraz has really started to show he doesn't have a real weakness. He doesn't. And the one thing that Sinner is carrying right now is the fact that he had the steroid, the allegations proven, the suspension, performance enhancing. Some people thought he caught a pass. He did and he didn't. But the fact of the matter is this: Alcaraz, to me, is just a little cut above. And I think it ultimately is going to come down to in terms of majors. You know, it's one thing. I mean, listen, in Cincinnati, you know, Sinner bowed out with a stomach ailment. It was legit. But, Wimbledon, Alcaraz on the clay at Roland Garros, and then ultimately in Melbourne at the Australian Open, he's going to be favored when these two go head to head. I really believe that. And then you look at some other players just beyond that. I think these two could be a two-headed monster for the foreseeable future. And the one thing you don't know with tennis is the grind. You just don't know the toll it takes on their body. These guys have to take care of themselves. And Sinner does not look as durable as Alcaraz. Alcaraz looks like a keg of dynamite, whereas, Sinner is more svelte, if you will. He's about 6'1", 6'2", about 170 pounds. And even though Alcaraz, same weight, but he's just, I think, more physically fit and probably more likely to withstand the grind. But it was fun to watch. It really was. These players are titans right now. And this is a rivalry born out of great skill. And they're both extremely well coached. And, Spain and Italy. I mean, and they get along. I mean, and the one thing I do want to say about Jannik Sinner was he was grateful in defeat. He really was. I mean, he gave the credit. He said, I gave it my all. I got beat by a better player on that weekend, on that Sunday, yesterday. He got beat by the better player that day. Now, we'll see as this goes on. But I do know this, the sport certainly is getting a huge shot in the arm by this rivalry because they're that good. And let me tell you something. There's a big precipitous drop-off to 3, 4, and 5. These guys are 1 and 2, and they can flip-flop maybe. Although I think Alcaraz, again, if they stay healthy, you got to always throw that proviso in there. If they do, you're going to see these two really battle. It's going to be Borg, Connors, McEnroe, Connors, McEnroe, Borg. Then you throw, and it was really cool because Yvonne Lendl was there yesterday to present. He was dominant. And you look at the history in the U.S. Open era, which began in 1968, look at the number of multiple winners on both sides, men and women. I mean, the Williams sisters, multiple U.S. Opens, multiple majors. And it's just unbelievable. So, but it is believable because there's just so much talent. And now we're seeing, Coco Gauff is really kind of, not really lived up to expectations yet. It's good to see Osaka back. She had a nice run. It didn't result. But Sabalenka, again, is at a level right now where a few others have gone. Aryna Sabalenka is a dominant force and very physically overpowering. So that's what we've got in tennis right now for the foreseeable future. All right, we come back. We'll put a closing wrap on it. Week one of the NFL, the curtain will fall on week one with Minnesota and Chicago. Caleb Williams, you're starting to see some stories now that he kind of regrets being drafted by. What is it with Bears and their quarterbacks? It's amazing. All right, we'll come back, put a wrap on it, and send you into a Monday night into a Tuesday here on Sports Overnight America. Keep it right here.
Mm-hmm. Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654. Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time.
800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
All right, down the home stretch we go. Let's put a wrap on it with a little bit of college football. Boy, Kansas State knocked off by Army. How about Oregon? You know, I mean, Mike Gundy made a comment about Coach Lanning and the Oregon Ducks basically saying, hey, you got a nice team that you paid for there. Of course, they got Nike money, and this is the era of name, image, likeness, and the portal. It's all well and good. 69-3. Gundy, he's been there 21 years. Let me tell you something. He is on a short leash in Stillwater, Oklahoma, with Okie State. And the other, the head scratcher is just what's going on with Florida. I mean, Billy Napier, came over from Western Kentucky. We saw what happened with Dan Mullen. Now, they're leading 16-15 against South Florida. I don't know what it is with these players, whether it's Jalen Carter or this knucklehead with Florida, but you spit into a player's face, 15-yard penalty, sets up the game-winning field goal. And South Florida, their second big win, they blew out Boise State in week one. They come right back and pick off nationally ranked Florida. And now you got Billy Napier singing for his supper. Because if you look at the next four games for Florida, it is just going to be brutal. They have got LSU, Miami, Texas, and Texas A&M. They might go 0-4 there, and probably will. 1-3 at best. So that's going to put him behind the eight ball there. So that's where we get started. Then Belichick gets his first win, and, at 73, his first college victory with North Carolina beating Charlotte 20-3 in a whopper, huh? All right, good job out of the whole crew. Thanks to Gary Myers. His book on the Belichick-Brady debate will be out a week from tomorrow, Tuesday. Stay with us for more sports talk throughout the night. For Dominic Jimenez, I'm Marty Terrell, and the whole crew, enjoy your evening and early morning here overnight on Sports Overnight America. Adios.